Good morning. Good morning. There we are. Well, welcome to the Lord's house, and it's great to see you here this morning to worship with us. I have a few announcements I would like to highlight. Harvest Home Sunday is coming up October 21st, and you can leave things in the stairwell by that Saturday. Golden Age Banquet is the following week, October 28th. And you can sign up for the Golden Age Dinner in the Narthex. Especially want to highlight Love Feast. Service will be right after this worship service downstairs, so please join us for the Love Feast meal and the foot washing service. And there will be a breakfast buffet by the Women's Fellowship on the 20th of October from 7 to 10. Always a good meal for breakfast there. And that following Sunday morning, or Sunday for lunch, there will be a potato and salad bar luncheon by the group going to the Dominican Republic in January. That's what I have to highlight. Anybody else have any other announcements this morning? I'm not seeing any. Let's stand and greet one another and remain standing for opening hymn.
Invite you at this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have, and we'd like to include two additional Nelson Gunn family as the passing of Nelson, and also the Lookinbill family, the passing of Rob. We've been praying for him in the past, so keep the Lookinbill family in prayer and the Gunn family in prayer as well. Any others you'd like to add to our list this morning?
Mine is not personal, it's for the Church of the Brethren as a whole. There are a number of us who were delegates or attended a district conference. Nothing passed. So we're kind of like at a standstill. I don't know if these things will come back to next year's district conference. The idea was for several items to be passed and the one going forward to annual conference, and it did not happen. It was a very long day. So just keep the denomination in prayer. I don't know how many of you are aware, there are a number of congregations because of these issues that are arising that are withdrawing from the Church of the Brethren because of disagreements. One congregation is set to do their final vote of withdrawal at the end of this month. So I think we need, as Church of the Brethren, fellow Christians, continue to pray and uplift the church that somehow we will continue to follow the will and the way of God. That seems to be the consensus. So it was a long day, nothing passed. I actually left before the last few items that were occurring because it was a very long day, but keep the church in prayer, that's all I can say.
I just thought of was that people have been asking me about Council of Churches clothing drive that we have every year or have had for a number of years. We're not going to have that this year due to we don't have the permission to use the facility, and perhaps this might be a swan song as far as our clothing. So if you have clothing set aside for that, you have to think of somewhere else to donate them to. Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the gift of life, for the ability to gather here today as brothers and sisters to lift up your most precious name, a name that enters into our lives, that changes things, that transforms things, that makes things new, that brings comfort, that brings peace, that offers us what we need to fill that void in our lives. And we just praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son that we might know life to the full. We do think, Father, of those that have lost loved ones. We continue to lift up the Gunn family, the Lookinville family, and the Dosh family, Lord, and just pray your continued healing touch, Lord. And we know, Lord, in the midst of our grief, that you do bring us joy because of the knowledge of where our loved ones have gone. And they're in your presence, and thank you for that knowledge, Lord. We think of our individual lives going through different situations, whether it be suffering, whether it be pain, whether it be guidance, direction, whatever it may be, Lord, we're just laying that at your feet, and we're asking you, Lord, to move in our midst. And we thank you that you are an active God, that you are a God that hears our prayers, and we just trust you, Lord. We wait on your healing touch. We wait on your guidance. And Father, we know that your timing is perfect. So Lord, whatever we may be dealing with in this very moment, we just pray, Lord, that we would wait on you, we would be patient with you, and we would trust you, Father. For we know that you are in our gathering here today. And we know that you are a God that is with us despite differences that we may see throughout our denomination. And we just pray, Lord, into your will, into your way, Lord, for the Brethren Church. We think of Indian Creek and lift up their leadership this morning. We lift up those gathered to worship this morning and just bless that family at Indian Creek and just bless all those gathered this morning to worship you, Lord. We just pray continued healing touch, your comfort upon Ruth and the other Ruth and Emmanuel and Derek and Carl and Wendy and others that come to our mind during these next few moments of silent prayer. Lord, we just want you to know that we are submissive. We are surrendered. Whatever it is, Lord, that you have for each of us, we just trust that. And we just place it into your loving arms, knowing that what we're going through, you have good that will come out of it. So help us, Lord, to to have patience, help us to know that we can trust you. So here are prayers of not only personal prayers, but also prayers of confession this morning that we lift up in unity together, those sins that we've committed, and we pray, Lord, you would guide us to turn from them. Thank you for hearing our prayers during these few moments. Lord, we just say thank you. This morning, we are a grateful people. For we know no matter what's happening around us that you are still good. You are good all the time. And we just praise you this morning, Father, for who you are. Again, Lord, we just thank you for this incredible gift that you have given us, but not to keep to ourselves this gift that we share with others, that people might come to know you through words that we speak, through actions that we do. Lord, may we serve you in whatever way you have called us to serve. And may you be glorified through all that we say and all that we do. And we just thank you again, Lord, for being here in this place, for being with us as we leave this place. May we be renewed. May we be new creations as you have longed for us to be. So help the old to continue to be gone and the new to come. And we just praise you, Father, this morning for everything. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To the welcome table, Father.
Luke tells us that Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me as we bless the bread this morning? Holy God, we pray your blessing on this sacred symbol of Christ's broken body. May those who receive and partake of it do so in faith, recalling the life and death of Jesus Christ. Increase our gratitude and increase our obedience. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We're also told that Jesus said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we are reminded, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you pray a prayer of blessing with me over the cup? Holy and loving God, we pray your blessing upon this sacred symbol of the blood of Jesus the Christ. Our hearts are lifted in thanksgiving for love poured out. As in faith, we will drink this cup, and may your forgiveness and your divine spirit be poured afresh into our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's in humble thanksgiving that we bless these elements.
For an offertory thought this morning, one of our devotions we read this week, Mary and I read, was about a woman who was out shaking her rug out as a common ordinary thing she did, and she thought about the mundane task and all the dirt and the dog hair and all coming out of the rug, and then she saw this great heron in her meadow, and she thought, "Wow, it's beautiful." And then the bird flew away. She said, "Wait, don't come back. You're so beautiful. I want to see you every day." And at that point, she realized the rest of the beauty around her. She recognized the sky and the green grass and her cat going down along the fence line. And so my challenge to you this week is to take a moment and either step outside or look out the window and just enjoy God's beauty and what God has given us. It is his, it's not ours. Same as we are learning in Sunday school, Jamie's teaching us that our money is not ours, it's God's. So let's return to the Lord. What is his? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just pray that we can take these gifts and give them unto the church for the use that you have provided, the use that you will provide. And we just thank you that we can lift up these monetary gifts to you. And we just thank you for your blessings. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
I would like to invite the children to come join me up front. Good morning. So I brought something special with me this morning. Can anyone tell me what these are?
Pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, they are pumpkin seeds. I thought they would be fitting since it's October and we have lots of pumpkins out right now. I'd like to share a story with you this morning about a man who planted seeds in a field. This is one of the parables of Jesus. A parable is a story that Jesus made up to help people understand what he wanted to teach them. So let's listen to the story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell on the hard path nearby and the birds came and ate it up. As the farmer continued to plant the seeds, some of them fell on the soil that was full of rocks. There was not much dirt around the rocks, so the seeds started to sprout and grow the very next day. But the only problem was there was little dirt. So the plants didn't put down roots, which would help them become strong and healthy. In the afternoon, the sun was very hot, so the plants that had started to grow in the rocky soil withered and died because they had no root in the ground. Some of the other seeds fell on soil that had been taken over with weeds and thorns. The weeds and thorns grew faster and taller than the plants from the seeds. Do you think the seed was able to grow with all the weeds? No, they were destroyed. The seeds were destroyed and the plants that the sower wanted to grow. Finally, some seeds fell on the good soil that had been plowed, fertilized, and weeded to make a good place for the seed to grow. Those seeds made healthy plants and they produced good fruit. This is the lesson that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn, and it is also the lesson that he wants us to learn. The seed that the sower was planting in the story represents the teachings of God's word. Our heart represents the soil where the sower planted the seeds. Sometimes our Sunday school teachers or our pastor is trying to plant the teaching of God's love in our heart. If our heart is hard and filled with anger and bitterness, the teaching falls on the hard ground and it never grows, just like that seed that fell on the hard ground. There are other times when we hear the word and we get excited about it, but then our excitement fades away because our understanding is too shallow. That's the way it was with the seed that fell on the rocky soil. Sometimes we hear the word and we believe what it says, but we want to keep on doing the same things that we have been doing. That is like playing the seed with a bunch of weeds. I'm sure you can guess what happens. The weeds will soon take over. The last seed is the best. It fell on the good ground. If you learn from what you hear in Sunday school and church, that the seed that Jesus plants in your heart will grow. Your life will produce good fruit just like Jesus intended. You will be helping others to grow in their knowledge and understanding of God's love. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, please help us to be like the good soil in our lesson today. Help us to listen to your word with open hearts. Amen.
Before I read the morning scripture, I do want to invite each and every one of you to the Love Feast meal after the service. As you enter the fellowship hall downstairs, you will be receiving a bulletin for the fellowship meal and also for the foot washing service. And we will not be sitting men on one side, women on the other. You will be sitting with your spouse or with your family. So those with young children, feel free to join us and partake in the service. I'll be reading the scripture this morning from Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times." Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Jesus.
struggle's real. I have two sermons before me. One's in response to what happened yesterday, and the other one was written at 5:30 this morning. So let's just pray. Lord, you have something particular in mind for each of us this morning. You know precisely what's going through our minds right now, and we're just asking for your word to speak. It's a difficult word this morning, but it's a parable well known. And so, Lord, we're just praying that your will would be done, that our ears would be open, and that you would just use me this morning to speak what you would have me to speak. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Has anyone noticed anything these past few weeks in our sermon series, Jesus Said? Does it seem like we're in the same gospel? Does it seem that way? As a matter of fact, we have been. Does anyone know which gospel that is? Mark. We've been in the gospel of Mark. Check this out. Historians agree that the book of Mark, in a sense, is Simon Peter's autobiography. What that means is Mark writes his accounts based on his conversations with Peter. So as we read Mark, notice how short and how choppy his verses are. They're not at all like the book of Luke, who's written by a doctor that crosses every T, dots every I, includes every ounce of detail. So what I want us to keep in mind as we read Mark 4 this morning is that Jesus is teaching a kingdom principle. And he might as well be standing among us, because many of these people on the shoreline are indeed farmers. They get it. They understand sowing seeds, and they quickly realize what Jesus is describing happens in real life. Now, how many of us have ever gone to the local farmer's market to pick out fresh produce? Anyone? I want us to imagine, one of my favorite is a watermelon. I want us to imagine you're taking a bite out of that sweet, juicy watermelon. Now, kids, don't spit the seeds. But in order to bring that fresh watermelon to you, the farmer would have had to do some digging, pun intended, to find out the perfect conditions for those seeds to grow. So friends, in the same way, we as Christians must work diligently to grow more like Christ. Once we look at the farmer or sower in some versions of this passage, there's six principles that we can follow. Remember, as you heard this morning, some seeds were planted on the road. These were quickly devoured by the birds. So these seeds didn't have a chance to grow at all. It's actually later revealed in verses 19 and 20 that this error in planting is like someone who hears the word about the kingdom of God, but doesn't understand it. The evil one, known as the devil, uses this opportunity to snatch that person in the wrong direction. Thus, we know, devouring whatever chance they had to grow in their faith. Then it said some seeds were planted on rocky ground. These seeds, we could say, had shallow soil, so it was a bit difficult to grow. And when the plants did grow, they were scorched and dried up because their roots had no chance to dig deep into the soil. This illustration is like the person who, as stated in verses 20 to 21, accepts the word as he hears it and is very joyful in the beginning. All is well for a while, and then the first roadblock comes along, and they fall back to their old ways because there wasn't really all that much faith. As the verses continued, some seeds were planted amidst thorns. Those thorn bushes grew up and choked the seeds, making them unable to grow. It's another example of the person who knows the word, But the worries of life, the pleasures of this world, choke out what they know. But then we finally hear that seeds were planted on good ground. We were starting to wonder if the farmer would ever get any crops. So we know the good ground produced plenty of harvest. Verse 23 says that this seed on good ground is the person who hears and understands the word. This produces that abundant crop, blessings from God himself that are double, triple, even 10 times the amount sown. That, my friends, is how great and how merciful our God truly is. Now, anyone grow up in the 60s? Do you remember the term flower power? So the direction we're about to go is in loose connection to that word flower. And we're going to use each of the letters of that word flower and give you some principles to live with in life. So faith kicks it off. Without faith, friends, all our hopes, all our dreams, all that we long for means nothing. But when we turn our hearts, our souls, our minds over to God, he helps us keep that faith in our daily lives. Hebrews 11:1, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Jesus answered them, I can guarantee this truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you'd be able to do what I did to that fig tree. And you could say to this mountain, be uprooted and thrown into the sea, and it would happen. But next, we know that we need to have love. Love is the most amazing characteristic that God has given to us. If we are planning, friends, to be Christ-like, this love needs to go wherever we go. 1 John 4:8, the person who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, so these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the best one of these is love. Next, we go to the letter O with obedience. Obedience is following what God longs for us to do in our lives. It could be called his will. We have to be obedient to what the word says. Exodus 19:5, if you carefully obey me and are faithful to the terms of my promise, then out of all the nations, you will be my own special possession, even though the whole world is mine. And in Deuteronomy 11:1, love the Lord your God and do what he wants you to do. Always obey his laws, his rules, and commands. If we're honest this morning, obedience is often the most difficult amidst the world in which we live. We all know the different directions that we are tugged in, but obedience to God never feels so good. There's something about right living that does the soul incredible good. But how about worship? God absolutely loves when we worship his name. There's so many scriptures that show people worshiping God. Another word for worship could be to serve the Lord cheerfully. It's about coming into his presence with joyful song. Psalm 102, all the nations that you have made will bow in your presence, O Lord. They will honor you. Indeed, you are great, a worker of miracles. You alone are God. Friends, it's when we recognize this fact that our priorities find their right order. God becomes and always remains first in our lives. The E in flower that produces the most power is this word endure. No doubt in this life we will have challenges that require endurance. But friends, as we live victorious lives, those blessings become plentiful and great. Like the example of the farmer, it took multiple tries before finding the perfect place to plant the seeds. You see, in our faith journey, endurance, and let's add persistence, will be key to getting things right with God. But friends, we'll never be perfect. As long as we dive into God's word and live out his will for our lives, as long as we give God our full attention, he will see us through our trials. It's when we get distracted. It's when we lose our focus. We miss the good things that God is doing right before us. Romans 5, 3 and 4, we've heard it said that suffering creates endurance. Endurance creates character, and character creates confidence. James 1:12, blessed are those who endure when they are tested. When they pass the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And finally, brothers and sisters, something we don't see very much in the world today. What seems like a lost art is the most powerful word of all. Repent. Repent. When we do something wrong, when we disobey God, let's just call it what it is. When we sin, we must repent. This, in my opinion, is the most crucial step in our walk with Christ. If we have anything wrong, and we all do, repentance produces forgiveness. And forgiveness produces a freedom in Christ that you've never experienced before. Friends, there's nothing worse than walking around life with guilt on your conscience. So this morning, I'm praying, let it go. There is power, my friends, in repentance. Acts 3:19, so change the way you think and act and turn to God to have your sins removed. This is what the Lord Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, says. You can be saved by returning to me. You can have rest. You can be strong by being quiet and by trusting me. But you don't want that. I hope there's something today for each of us to think about. I hope there's something for us that we can lean on. Not just today, not just this week, but for all the days ahead. If we put these simple words into practice and truly believe in our heart, we can live right with God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are coming humbly before you now to thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you shower upon us every single day. We thank you that Jesus gave us the parable of the farmer who wasn't perfect at all, but was persistent at planting his seeds in different places until he got things right. We thank you, Father, that you are a merciful, that you are a gracious God who is slow to anger and quick to forgive our sin. We pray now you would be with us. We pray now that you would guide us. We pray now that you would direct us on the path of your divine righteousness. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. Amen. Our final hymn is actually, I Love to Tell This Story. It's the right page number, but let's be about telling that story. Please rise if you're able.
Thank you.
invite you to pause for a moment of self-examination as we prepare for our descent to the fellowship hall for our love feast. Please pause and consider your life. Consider where God is moving. Consider where God is asking you to act upon certain things. God, you know us. God, you search us. And God, there's things within us that you find that you are waiting for us to simply reply to your grace, to reply to your love, to go all in, surrendered to you. We thank thee for thy Holy Spirit that convicts us. We know that daily we should examine ourselves and we should do what we are called to do according to Scripture, to live right. So thank you, God, for this moment of silent examination, to be able to prepare for a significant moment in our lives as a church family. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn in your hymnals to number 692, and we'll say these words together in unison, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Number 692. O God, you rule the world from end to end and for all time. You alone are God. In you alone we hope. Forgive our sins, heal our diseases, save our lives from destruction. We repent of our stubbornness and pride. We desire to yield ourselves more fully to your will. Keep us in your presence that we might serve and witness in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the evil.